This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery, like McKenna, brings a top-tier lineup. With Leif Davis-esque delivery right to your door, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So the only thing left to say is, you win. Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus. Rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
In the battle of Elton versus Ed, it's a perfect night for Ed as the bad habits at the back for Watford give the away and shivers. This is the Blue Monday podcast. Hello and welcome to the Blue Monday podcast discussing Ipswich Town winning away since 2015. I'm Richard Woodwards and welcome to a live match reaction after Ipswich Town 2, Watford 1 on the road. And joining me to make sense of it, Seb, my heart is racing. I don't know if it's because I ran up the stairs to get on the stream, but this team, it just continues to keep going, doesn't it? It's amazing.
Where do we possibly start? Which one do you want first? Top of the league? Tick. First team to 50 points ever in the fastest team ever in Championship history? Tick. Sam Morsy available for the derby? Tick. 6 points from two incredibly difficult away games? Tick. It just goes on and on. And yeah, this team, this manager, this is happening.
Yeah. We are live, so we want to hear from you. And if you're listening to us after the fact as well, I hope you can sense the kind of mood that we're in at the moment, because let's be honest, Seb, second half maybe wasn't the best from us, was it? But this team just finds a way to win.
They do, yeah. Every time we think, oh, I mean, before the game, I think, did I text you and say you'll take a 1-1 tonight? That would be a decent result. I think we said on the pre-match last week for Middlesbrough, take a point. That's 2 points that we would have taken from these two games. Obviously, Kieran McKenna knows way more about football than you and me. We've walked away with 6. Yeah, second half was, we'll discuss the game. Second half was kind of becoming a bit open with people noticeably tiring. But we did what we do. We found a way to win. It's a incredibly difficult place to go, I think. Our record there isn't amazing, and it's a hell of a win. And please, in the chat, keep us updated with the Sunderland lead score, because it was, is it 87th minute, 88th minute?
87th minute, still 1-0 Sunderland. I've got half an eye on that as well, but let's say hello to the chat and give us your instant reactions. Are you buzzing like Seven? I mean, why wouldn't you be? Give us your man of the match as well. A few maybe to pick from there. But yeah, let's see who's got in their first thunderstruck. Evening all, courage, character, commitment. Now we believe. Chris Horn, we've got a super. Kieran McKenna, Lee. Cool, that was tense. Yeah, I don't know about you, Seb, but my palms were getting sweaty when in the last, maybe in the 90th minute, and then I was expecting 6 minutes of injury time like they got against Southampton, but fortunately only 4. But yeah, it's like we keep having these experiences, don't we, of these kind of tense last few minutes. How was your nerves?
No, I was all right. I was okay. Once we went 2-1 up, I kind of thought that we'll just see it out because it's what we do. I was more tense when the game was getting stretched. You know, the 10, 15 minutes before Morsy's winner, they were starting to threaten a little bit, I thought. And yeah, that's when my heart rate probably got slightly elevated. But once we scored, I had complete confidence that we would see it out because it's what we do. Let's be honest. Yeah. You know, these days of us kind of throwing away leads and messing up royally, they just don't exist anymore because Well, I'm going to swear it's after the watershed, isn't it? We're a fucking amazing side.
Hello, YouTube. Let's move on. Mark, a winner. Morsy didn't get booked. Happy days. Paul, man alive. I'm allowing myself to believe. Good vibes. Neil's here getting everybody. What a bloody great win. Bring on the filth now. Yeah, we've got to play Norwich, Seb. We'll talk about that maybe a little bit more. But yeah, Lee reminding us, Sunderland now into injury time there. We will keep you posted, but you'll probably get there before us in the chat, so keep us posted. Matt Phillips, this is happening, he says. Muck Saucepan, we're actually going up. Rob, massive win. That credit to Morsy for chasing down that ball. An excellent finish. Chris, would have definitely taken 10 to 11 points from the seven games up to Christmas. 12 already with two to go. Barnaby, wow, that was a big, big game. Those boys will turn up on a Saturday as giants. Yeah, the atmosphere, Seb, off the back of two wins, particularly a hard-fought win tonight. The atmosphere is going to be even more buzzing, isn't it, surely? I mean, it's going to be electric anyway, but off the back of, you know, real momentum now, isn't it, in our favour after that West Brom game?
Very much so, yeah. I mean, it was going to be amazing anyway. You know, the welcome, the coach stuff, which we've discussed previously, the atmosphere inside the ground will be incredible on Saturday. And now with this, you know, we've got the captain available. That was the worry, I guess, wasn't it? You know, if we'd even a draw tonight and a Morsy yellow card, we'd maybe be dampening our expectations a little bit going into the weekend. But yeah, everybody's available. The first choice team will be put out. We're coming into it with this incredible momentum. 9 points now since the West Brom. Was it 9 points or is it 12 points? I forgot. I've lost track of it.
More than that, isn't it?
Track of, yeah, 12 points, isn't it, since the West Brom game.
Millwall, three wins, Coventry.
Yeah, four on the bounce, isn't it? Middles, yeah, 4 points. Four wins on the bounce. So 12 points going into it. And yeah, phenomenal. Bring on Saturday. I cannot wait for Saturday. If I could close my eyes when I go to sleep tonight, I just want to wake up on Saturday morning in Suffolk.
Yeah, Northern, that was more of a smash and grab than the Borough game. I think we could agree with that. Chris Radd is here. You've already mentioned it. First team in the country to 50 points.
I mean, that is mental. Just think about that for a second. We've played 21 games of football this season and we're on 50 points.
Yeah.
Insane.
Off the promotion from the third tier as well.
Yeah, basically the side that started tonight was pretty much, apart from Brandon Williams and Twan Zabe, it was pretty much the side that was so regular in League One last year. I mean, this is next level insane now. A month ago, it was crazy. Now it's just gone beyond the stratosphere in terms of mentalness.
It's bananas. Rob, let's carry the coach. Forget about greeting it. Let's pick it up and carry it. Lee, if things stay like this, the pressure is relieved massively for Leeds away.
I mean,
a lot of their fans, Seb, and I'll come to it at full time at Sunderland first. Still playing by the looks of it. Saucepan, we gifted them a goal. It was only fair they gift us one back. I mean, they gifted us two back, didn't they, Seb?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, they were both. The first one, I guess, is a bit of luck with the deflection and stuff. Second one was a definite gift, and yeah, very generous of them in the Christmas spirit.
Yeah, Chris, I love Chris posted with no spaces first team in the country to 50 points, and then reposted with the spaces and the punctuation. So good on you for having the wherewithal, Chris, to correct your own grammar. Romeo, wow, what a team we have. Paul, incredible. This team is incredible. Simon, unbelievable stuff from town this week. Borough and Watford away in the space of 4 days. Really tough places to go, Seb. We were, as you mentioned, talking about Watford's fearsome record. Only two defeats, very kind of West Brom-esque type record. I did a little bit of research before the game tonight, so I was prepared for now. I mean, can't be prepared necessarily for everything. But yeah, this on paper, much more difficult game than maybe all of us gave it credit for, perhaps.
It was my most worried game of the three. I think we discussed it on the pre-match last week. You know, this was the one that I had, given Middlesbrough injury concerns, Watford away was the one of the three, the Middlesbrough, Watford and Norwich games, that I had the most kind of reservations about. And yeah, you know, they were in a great run of form. One defeat in 10, I think, was it? And that was Leicester. I think they scored the second most open goals at home after us in the league. So it's a tough place to go. They're a big physical side. They like to high press. It's the kind of things that on occasion we have struggled with a couple of times so far this season. And yeah, let's not be in any doubt. Middlesbrough away and Watford away have got to be in the hardest, what, the top six, seven away games of the season for sure, after the, you know, probably the three Premier League sides. Absolutely. Two phenomenal performances, two different performances, 6 points, incredible.
Yeah, Jonathan makes the point. I mean, we might need Chris, our resident statistician, to confirm, but it's definitely, it might be 101 points for the calendar year now. And a few people saying 2023, what a year to have been a Town fan, eh? And I mean, imagine if it gets even better next year. It's your mate Sam, isn't it? I think, evening to you, Sam. Rob, we looked understandably knackered for the last 20, but the sheer grit, determination, and fight was the stuff of champions, he says. Solly 933 thought McKenna Pert properly celebrated that more than his usual when the final whistle went. That is huge. Apparently Sunderland have cleared off the line, a bit of drama there. So a lot of love. I'm going to put up as many as we can. Thank you everyone for joining. Seb, let's talk about the game, shall we? Something happened 3 minutes to go. Oh, that was 3 minutes ago. I'm trying to scroll through time. So apologies for the chat. Have we got a full time yet? Into the last minute. Here's Mark, our mate Mark. We are staying up, he says. Yeah, well, let's heighten our expectations, perhaps.
Safe from relegation.
Whilst we all tiptoe around Sunderland Leeds, let's talk about the game, Seb. A few changes for Town. Here's the lineup. Five changes. Williams, Twanzabi, Luongo, Hutchinson coming in, and Harness. Your thoughts seeing that lineup?
More than I expected. I expected maybe two or three. I kind of thought Hutchinson, it's over at the Stadium of Light.
We are
10 points clear of Leeds United. They've lost 1-0. Wow. What an evening. What a night. This is mental. And now, oh, wow. That relieves the pressure so much for the Leeds away game because
so this is the thing I was gonna I kind of hinted, apologies for the pulsing background, my house is kind of moving around or electronics are screwing up or something, it's my Christmas lights. Leeds fans have had this narrative, and I know a lot of our we talked about it in Telegram and tried to kind of ignore the minority of noisy Leeds fans that are kind of saying, oh, Ipswich are going to fall away. And I thought Courtney Sweetman Kirk on COCOMs and Sky dealt with the point really well. You know, there's a point where you've got such a sample size of data that suggests that, we're not going to fall away. But Leeds fans were talking about the game at Elland Road being the point where they overtake us. Well, now, mathematically, they can't do that. I mean, this is such a big night, Seb, in that race, isn't it? And, Leeds hoping for us to fall away, but Leeds hoping to overtake us. It's a massive swing, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, they must have been looking at our December fixture. It's like we were with a bit of trepidation. They must have been thinking, right, they will definitely start to drop points. We can claw it back. And then logically, they were thinking when they come to us on the Saturday before Christmas, that's the game where we beat them, we'll overtake them, and they won't catch us again. And surely they must have been thinking Middlesbrough away, Watford away in the space of 4 days, whatever it is. Surely they'll drop some points. 2 points would be a decent return from those two. For us to come away with six must be soul-destroying for them. And now, it is almost like a free hit at Elland Road now. You can go there, you can lose, and it's not really going to make that much difference, because assuming we beat Norwich and they win at the weekend, assuming nothing changes and we've still got that 10-point gap, worst case it's a 7-point gap, which is what it was at 7:45 this evening. So it's an incredible victory for us, and it's an incredible night in terms of the race for second place. We're top of the league, and life cannot possibly get any better as a Town fan at this point in time. It's incredible.
Here's our mate Tim. That was this season's Barnsley moment, perhaps. It's got a feeling, said me and Dave, we're doing the post-match reaction after Barnsley. It does have that sense. I mean, nothing is won yet. We are still in December, guys. But nevertheless,
if we get a win on the weekend against Norwich, we will look back at this week. I'm telling you, come April, come May, we will look back and say that 9-point week, potentially, I'm not cursing at the moment, but that possible 9-point week was absolutely crucial given the calibre of the size that we faced and the results that maybe went in our favour at the Stadium of Light tonight. Yeah, just an incredible evening's football for both of us.
Evening to Ben, Watford fan here. Thanks for joining us, Ben. Appreciate that and your insights here. Tight, two good teams going hammer and tongs. Yeah, it was very end-to-end, quite a basketball game, wasn't it? Ipswich had the edge in terms of quality and looked very impressive. Really hope you get promoted. I think you will. We don't win at Watford too often, do we, as well? I mean, Watford's decent sides. Ishmael got them playing really well as well. Good run of form. Lots of positives to take out of this, not least the caliber of the opposition. Your thoughts on Watford overall?
Yeah, I thought they were decent. I thought they were lively down the flanks, threatening from wide positions, physical side, high press. Obviously, we'll discuss the goals in more detail, but the opening goal came from a result of their high press and one of our errors. And yeah, Ishmael's really got them going, hasn't he? Their only defeat against Leicester, the only recent one. They're a good side, and they've probably got their eyes on sixth place. There'll be a handful of clubs, won't there? Sunderland, Borough, yeah. Watford. They'll all be looking at that sixth place. If we assume that the 1-5 is probably going to stay as it is at the moment, they've probably got their eyes on sixth place, and yeah, they're a good side who could well make it. I really like the wide players in the side. They were very good.
Seema and Espria, like those. Yeah. We kind of did well to keep some of their other players quiet, perhaps. But yeah, I think there's as Chris says, Seema a real threat for them. I mean, let's look at this this Watford team. Only one change for them, and it's the return of former Blue. It's maybe over stretching it a little bit, but he did have a loan spell. Jake Livermore comes in. Otherwise, it's as you were. And as we said, Seb, a lot of a threat down those wide positions, a lot of pace through Seema, Espria, Kiembe and Livermore, very physical midfield pairing. And there's pace out wide as well. Lewis
and strength
ex-Norwich.
Up front, isn't there? Yeah, Lewis yeah. Ex-Norwich, strength up front with Ravic as well. Yeah, they're a physical side. Yeah. They're a good side. And just going back, I don't think we've discussed our team, did we? Because the Leeds full time occurred.
I was
surprised to see the five changes. I was expecting maybe two or three. So five, I was a bit surprised. But I thought Hutchinson would come in. I thought he deserved it, probably in place of Broadhead. I was surprised to see Burns drop out. Williams obviously got 45 minutes, and then Clark gets the second half. And Twan Zabi, we kind of discussed. We figured he'd start one of the two, you know, Middlesbrough or Watford. So not that surprising to see him come in, but five maybe was surprising for me. I was expecting two or three.
Yeah. And do you want to give us maybe, it's not conspiracy theories, but any theories that you could read into that rotation for Norwich?
No, I don't think so. I think McKenna just looks at it, as he says. It's a cliche, one game at a time, but I think that's genuinely what he does. We have got so much football coming up. We've played a fair bit of football in recent weeks. We're in a position where we do need to get Williams back up to speed, because West Brom aside, he's not really featured that much, has he, for the last month or so now. Twan Zabi needs to continue his kind of development, his progress, get minutes into his legs before Burgess disappears off with Australia. I think Luongo was always going to come back in following his suspension. So, no, sensible, I thought. Like I say, two or three I expected. Five I was a bit surprised by, but you know, Hutchinson deserved it after the weekend. Harness, I thought, played really, really well tonight. Yeah. And as long as you keep that spine, you know, Clagkey, Burgess, Morsey, Hurst, Chaplin, the rest of them can kind of drift in and out as and when McKenna sees fit.
Yeah, a couple more bits on Watford before we talk about the game in more specific detail. Second for accurate long balls, 60% average home possession as well.
Third highest. Someone's done some research.
Their home record, only two defeats all season, 22 goals scored, only 11 conceded. The last five, form table, sixth best. Only lost one in their last 10, and that was against Leicester until along came Ipswich. We've got a mention here from David, I think it is, about Hladky. Was class after initial mistake, could have gone to pieces, thudded after that, mental strength. Let's talk about this opening goal for Watford, Seb, because yeah. I guess it's been foreshadowed for quite a while. A lot of our fan base probably now who'd been dropping a brick, or you've dropped the F-bomb already, I could probably swear more, whose buttholes pucker a little bit when we pass the ball out from the back, had been expecting this kind of goal to happen, and it's happened, but man, it's taken a long time to come, though, hasn't it?
Yeah, I don't count the was it Rakeem Harper pass straight across the back in the culture? Was it Cole Yew in the early days of last season? You can't count that. So it's the first time it's happened. As far as I'm aware, I can't think of another time it's happened from sort of direct playing out from the back. And yeah, it's how we play. Like the comment just said, it's good mental strength that we continue to persevere with that. We know at some point it was going to happen, and now it finally has. Obviously, Slanky picks the ball up. He's on his left foot. He's trying to find... When you saw the angle from behind the goal, I didn't realise how far away Davis was. I assume it's Davis he's trying to find right out on the touchline, and he's a hell of a way away. So maybe the simple is to knock it to Burgess, to then he makes the pass down the wing to Davis on the touchline. But yeah, he gets it wrong, and he finds Espria, and he cuts it back into the middle. Morsey just missed the interception. Initial shot wasn't Ravic, was it? Coney, I think, got the initial shot in. Decent save. Flaky does well, doesn't he, to get down?
It's Espria lashes at home. It's Ravic.
Espria scores. Yeah. Ravic, I think, has the first chance. Flaky does really well to get down. It falls.
And there's your bouncing back, isn't it, from the mistake. I mean, he makes admittedly, Ravic is probably, Chaplin has a similar effort a few minutes later where he's in the middle of the goal We were debating in Telegram whether Chapman should do better with his effort, but Raver just got time to pick a spot. To me,
yeah,
didn't do much tonight. And I mean, but yeah, Hladky makes the save, doesn't he? But
yeah, good save. Hladky falls for a spriller. It's a great finish. He sees where Hladky is. He sees where Twenzabe is on the line. It's a great finish. And yeah, it's a really good finish for the goal. It's our mistake. You can't do anything about that. But what I loved was the fact that we all knew straight away. Everyone goes to Hladky and kind of, you know, cuffs him around the head and says, come on. And we know within minutes we will still be passing out from
Pats
the back
the head,
as we
cuffs him around the head.
You know what I mean? Yeah, you know, the come on, mate. You know, we
come on,
we,
buddy.
We keep going. We keep going.
You. We love you.
And yeah, the great thing is that we know in 2 or 3 minutes' time we're going to be playing the exact same brand of football because it's what we do. So it's finally happened. We've conceded a goal from it, but I think one goal every 18 months conceded from that style of play is that's all right in my book, to be fair.
Yeah, and someone earlier in the chat said, Watford's press really high at the pitch. You know, they've got pace and intensity there. But I have to say, Seb, after conceding, I think we're the better team for the majority of the game. Watford certainly on the break, crosses into the box. We knew about that threat and set pieces perhaps, but I thought we were playing the better football, really. And a lot of love in the chat for Hurst. Wolfing Gas Blue, Hurst gave his best tonight. Yeah. Neil, glad Hurst scored again. And it's kind of the fox in the box instinct that maybe we haven't given Hurst a huge amount of credit for to convert this one, but great work from Davis and great work from Harness in this.
Very much so, yeah. Hurst's start kind of starts, he knocks the ball down to Harness, who he always seems to be playing on the kind of half turn. He kind of pings the ball out wide to Hutchinson, who takes his man on. I thought Hutchinson was a real threat down that right hand side, cutting in on his left. He had a couple of shots, didn't he, in the first half with that left foot, and he was really causing them trouble, I thought. And yeah, we get a bit lucky again. We discussed it on the flagship. We were a bit lucky at Borough with the opening goal, with the two deflections, the deflection to Chaplin, and then the one where he strikes it towards goal, and it kind of takes a bit of a double ricochet, doesn't it, off the Watford player's legs, and the keeper pushes it away. And then we've discussed now for 6 months, 8 months, nearly 12 months, I guess, of George Hurst developing his game, and he's not necessarily there to score goals, and his role is about tiring out defenders and bringing others into play and creating space for the three behind. But I love the fact he scored a good old-fashioned tap-in from, 3 yards in the box. You know, you want your strikers to be in that position. He's following up. He does what all good strikers do, regardless of the kind of changes he's made in his game to accommodate this kind of new style of play for him. But he's following up. He's there in the right place at the right time. And he fully deserved that because he played so well, didn't he? You know, he picked up straight from where he finished off at the Riverside on Saturday. You know, he was spinning players. He was causing all sorts of problems. He was physical tonight against two physical centre-halves. And yeah, really, really pleased for him. And we deserve the equaliser because, you know, we had the Chaplin kind of snapshot effort. Hutchinson cut inside and put one just wide. That might have been after the goal, but we were growing. We were threatening. And yeah, we really, really deserved it because we got back in the game. Because a lot of sides, you can see that kind of goal relatively early. We know we've got a bit of an issue with conceding early goals. They're a good side at Vicarage Road. You know, they're a physical side. They're a high press side. It would have been quite easy for us to go into our shell for 10, 15, 20 minutes and try and kind of regroup and try and see out a bit of time. But we didn't. I'm so excited. I can barely talk. We just kept going. We did what we do, and we fully deserved the equaliser, I thought.
Yeah, I think Luke is talking about George Hurst here. 6 goals, 5 assists now for him. Lot of love for Hurst. There's a great moment on half an hour where he spins on a sixpence and nearly gets the ball. I think he plays it out to Davis and Hutchinson curls wide. But yeah, really confident. A little bit of a naughty elbow, perhaps.
I don't mind that. Leave a bit on your centre half. He's watching the ball and he's watching the man. That's the problem, isn't it? You know. So yeah, I don't mind that. It's a physical battle. Leave a bit on your centre half. No issue with that. I thought the guy went down a bit theatrically as well.
Yeah, well, talk to us about Porteous going down a bit theatrically on 38. This disallowed goal, the more I look at it, the less I'm convinced there's a foul here.
Yeah, no, I'd agree with that. I kind of assumed it was fairly cut and shut, given there weren't that many. Williams kind of protested quite vigorously, and Hurst did. But, you know, apart from that, everyone kind of got on with it and kicked off. So I assumed it would be a fairly cut and shut. But then, yeah, when I saw it back, I thought there's not much in that at all. It was a great header from Hurst, wasn't it? And yeah, I think we were a bit unlucky with that one.
Yep, there's a moment for Harness, spins and has a shot.
Harness played really well in that first half. A lot of credit to him.
Mark here thought Hurst was excellent. Harness and Hutchinson both good too, to either keep their place for Saturday for you, Seb. Some other people have been talking about Broadhead's form as well. He came off the bench, always difficult to make an impact off the bench, as we say, but hasn't really been at it of late. could you see a situation where Harness gets in the start on Saturday ahead of Broadhead?
I don't know. I think at Portman Road, against the opposition we're going to play, I expect Burns to come back in on the right, because Burns does play for Kieran McKenna, let's be honest. It's very rare he's a substitute. He's a big game player. I think Chaplin in the 10, and I think Broadhead starts on the left. I know he's not been on it recently, but he's a, you know, he's a real threat. He's one of our great players. And the great thing is, if it's not working in 60 minutes, then you can bring on the likes of Harness and Hutchinson if you have to. But I would be surprised if the front four on Saturday wasn't the recognised front four that we all know now is the strongest one. You know, Chaplin in the 10, Hurst up front, Burns and Broadhead either side.
Give me your thoughts on the halftime whistle goes. A little bit of a unnecessary moment with Williams and Tuanzebe giving away a free kick, which we see off. A few crosses from Watford.
We were allowing them to cross, weren't we? I don't know if it was part of the game plan. You know, but even when Clark came on in the second half, there were noticeable times where he was kind of standing off Semmer as well. So I don't know if that was tactical. I was surprised we let them put the amount of crosses in that we did. You know, Rajovic is a big old boy, to quote myself on the from the pre-match show sometimes. But yeah, that was an interesting tactical decision. And then, yeah, obviously he gets hooked at halftime. Williams gets hooked for Harry Clark.
Here's the attacking momentum. It's something I bloody love. A couple of spiky moments there for Watford, and they finished the half the stronger. But generally, Seb, I felt like we were in the ascendancy and playing the better football. Would you agree with that?
Yes. After the opening goal, I thought we were on it till about sort of 37, 38 minutes. And I thought with those crosses that were going in, they sort of saw out the end of the second half pretty strongly. I thought the Hurst booking came because we were dropping deeper and deeper. He was on the halfway line, I think, when that booking happened, wasn't it? When he caught, was it Hootie caught with his arm. I thought we noticed we dropped a little bit deeper. They finished the side slightly stronger, but it was a great first half performance for an away game. It was gritty when we needed it to be. We kind of stuck to our philosophies, stuck to our principles, fully deserved the equaliser, and I was delighted to go in a halftime at level.
Yeah, a lot of people suggesting that Hurst has been hard done by with the foul, but I guess blue-tinted spectacles, perhaps. Andy, big shout-out to the travelling fans. Heard them all night and very much enjoyed their Merry Christmas Everyone chant as well, which I'm sure will be sung on Saturday, along with Carrow Road is Falling Down. Second half, Seb, Watford probably the better team. Started with a bit of intensity. Maybe a lack of clear-cut efforts and moments. There are certainly some shots on goal. There are certainly some crosses that whoosh down the corridor of uncertainty, but you never really got the sense that Watford... Well, what was your take on Watford's dominance in the second half? What extent did you feel like they were likely to take the lead?
No, I think you've summed it up. We know they're a threat from out wide. You know, Semmer and Asprilla are tricky players. They're quick players. The fullbacks do like to get forward. But every time they kind of got themselves in a decent position, I thought Lewis in particular, some of his crossing and decision-making was pretty poor. There were a couple of times the ball would go out for a throw-in or just go behind for a goal kick. And whilst they got themselves in threatening positions, they didn't really have anybody in the box to try and kind of, you know, to make the most of it and put things away. There were a couple of chances that fell to them, to kind of Livermore and Kiembe on the edge of the box. When that happened, we got crucial kind of blocks in. And yeah, although they did start the second half stronger and they were causing issues down the flanks, they didn't really have much in the box at all, I didn't think.
No, well, there's a moment for Asprilla. Semmer crosses across the face. There's a Hutchinson free kick. Sorry, I've just left this comment from Matt about Kieran McKenna being the greatest manager I've seen in my lifetime. There, I've said it. Hutchinson has a free kick in a really good position, sends Chaplin and Davis away. Yeah, as soon as you do that, get it on target. And he didn't. And they nearly sprung us from that as well. Kiembe blazes over 75. But other than that, so I think probably 78th minute, there was a couple of chances. I think Ince cuts in, doesn't he? And both him and I forget who else has a shot. And
it's Kiembe, I think, with no power in the shots efforts, whatsoever. Weren't they? Yeah, thankfully. Burgess gets a big block on one of them. But they were tame efforts from them. The game was getting stretched, wasn't it? I think both sides looked noticeably tired from kind of the 65th, 70th minute onwards. We try and make the triple sub to try and freshen things up a little bit. But yeah, I just thought that the game was getting stretched, and I guess I wasn't worried that we were going to lose it, because, like, as I said, although Watford were causing issues down the flanks, the lack of anything really in the box, I thought would see us through. But I just thought the game would keep on drifting and drifting, maybe, and we'd both kind of settle for a point and walk away.
Yeah, which we would have done.
Yeah, I would have done, because I don't know anything about football.
But Seb. I see people are putting questions in the chat. So keep them, maybe hold on to them, and we will come to them after we finish talking about the Watford game, kind of blow by blow, which will be in like a couple of minutes. because we do want to go through your questions, and that's how we'll finish the last half of the show. So don't go too early because we'll miss them. Stick a cue at the start, like Jack has done, Seb, because I want to ask you this question. Did anyone else panic when Morsey scored that he was going to take his shirt off to celebrate? Morsey had, this is a kind of a point that I made in the Telegram group, but obviously Morsey walking the tightrope now that we've talked about with the yellow card situation. It's much easier to walk that tightrope to me in League One when basically the midfield battle is so easy to win, and you've got other quality players around you. At Championship level, that midfield battle is really key. We talked about Livermore. It's a real battle, and there Luongo probably a better foil for Morsey in that respect. But he hadn't really shown a huge amount, probably for obvious reasons, but is suddenly going to appear and run the gauntlet that Jack's talking about there with the celebration, Seb, because talk us through it.
Yeah, well, he was subdued in the first half, wasn't he? And it was Luongo, the one who got the booking and was bringing people down. So there was obviously a noticeable kind of emphasis for Luongo to do the stuff Morsey normally does. And then, yeah, it's a throw-in with Leif Davis on the touchline. Freddie kind of rolls his man, and I think the defender sticks out a boot and ends up falling at the feet of Hoot, who takes an awful touch. And Morsey is there, and he just touches it away from him beautifully. I thought he was going to square it for Ladapo to tap home, but not our captain. No, he just rolls it home, calm as you like. It was a great finish because, you know, let's be honest, goal scoring isn't a big part of his game, but it was a great finish. And then I loved the arrogant kind of walk towards the home fans, the strut.
Beckham was scoring those free kicks after the World Cup, after World Cup 98 got sent off, and just like, that's what I do. That's what I do, guys.
That was brilliant. All the talk pre-match going in was him about avoiding this booking to make sure he's around to face Norwich at the weekend. Not only does he do that, he ends up getting the winning goal. Similar position to Chaplow, wasn't it, all those years ago? I guess not. Obviously, it wasn't a quick break like that one was, but similar position in the penalty box. And yeah, rolls the ball home, 81 minutes on the clock. And at that point, I thought it's done because they haven't really threatened that much. You know, Hlaki's not had much to do in the second half. And we will now go into ultra Ipswich Town control professionalism mode like we did at the Riverside on Saturday, and we will see the game out, and that's exactly how it played out. So delighted for Morsey. Yeah, obviously, you know, a lot of focus on him before the game to avoid this 10th booking of the season, and absolutely thrilled that he got the winner and a brilliant celebration to boot with the strut towards the away fans.
Yeah, gifts, as we said, at Christmas time being exchanged by both teams.
It was an awful touch, wasn't it, by Hoop? Yeah, an absolutely awful touch. But that's,
they did that. There was a few, a lot of these long passes out of play. There were a few loose touches at the back for Watford, so fair play us for having that press. And also, hello, shout out if you are coming back from the game. There's a few people who are joining the chat who have been at Watford. Let us know that you've been there in the chat, and give us your thoughts as well. Mikey's here. Spare a thought for Joe Fares, who is giving a lift home to five different blokes who arrived in the pub at 5 p.m. and have probably been indulging in quite a bit of limbs, Seb. And I can share an image from Joe from the away end. And there's the player celebrating that goal. I think Craig sent me one on a diagonal as well. But yeah, great scenes there. And apart from a karate kick to the face, no, it was Clark taking one. It was bravely. We kind of saw
really brave by Clark to throw himself in front of that one. And yeah, we saw it out pretty comfortably. You know, I was expecting 6-7 minutes because that's how things tend to go. But the Lino puts up 4 minutes. And yeah, apart from the only real moment I was concerned with, a minute to go, they've got a free kick on halfway. And it's a case of the goalkeeper swinging it into the box. But we dealt with it again, and it's what we do. And yeah, you know, the camera straight away cuts to the touchline. McKenna and Pert, as somebody said in the comments, they were really, really celebrating that one because everybody knows what a huge win that is, what a huge 4 days it's been. Two wins on the bounce, and the icing on the top of the cake is the fact that Leeds have lost as well. So yeah, Carlsberg don't doom Tuesday evenings, but if they did, wow.
Well, and an extra day on Norwich as well, because they play tomorrow night against an improving Sheffield Wednesday team as well, by the way, off the back of a 0-0 against Preston as well. Apparently Joe was upside down at one point, so scenes in the away. And a lot of people watch the game from my sofa, says Michael, but feel like I played all 95. I know how that feels as well. David W. walked from the front room, just back from the game. It was great. Yeah, well, we be smug. Hopefully the roads will be kind to everyone. There's a lot of you here. Thank you if you've given us a thumbs up already, but please do give us a thumbs up on YouTube and on Facebook. I can see Ben, James, Mark, Gary, Rob, Justin, Stephen, and Sam have all give us a thumbs up. And please subscribe if you're watching on YouTube as well. We have a giveaway at the moment. The more people who subscribe, it's one of those cynical ones. We're giving something away, folks. but the more subscribers, we want to give away an Ipswich Town shirt is the gist of it. So please help us out and give us a subscribe, but a thumbs up would very much be appreciated as well. We will go on as long as your questions continue for us. So start getting them in now. If you stick a queue at the start, we'll ask it to Seb. Let me just put the results up on the screen for you, Seb. There you go. Look at the bottom.
I'll be honest, I've actually paid no attention whatsoever to any other results tonight, apart from obviously us and the Sunderland lead score. So I'm going in blind with this. Go on.
Yeah, well, so Liam Manning's not really got off to a good start with Bristol City, but Blackburn, a little bit of an inconsistent side, but pretty good at home. Huddersfield, Preston. Preston, a bit of a turning their form around after a bit of a sloppy run, a draw and a win. West Brom 2-0 at Rotherham, no real surprises there. West Brom, pretty resilient. Stoke, managerless Stoke. Swansea got a manager yet either, is it?
No, but two managerless sides.
The P45 Derby ends 1-1 at Stoke. And what's that last one, Seb? I can't read that.
Well, that can't make sense because Leeds are massive and they always win and they take 10,000 fans everywhere. So that's weird, isn't it?
I can see Watford
not 10,000 fans. It's 10-point gap, sorry.
Yeah. Watford 1, Ipswich 2 there as well. But Sunderland 1, Ipswich 0. And with Leeds, with Leicester to play tomorrow, Seb, the league table looks like that. Look at that.
Imagine the night before the season starts, that Friday night before the Saturday round of games, if you said going into the Norwich game, you're going to be on 51 points, we'd have just looked at you like you were insane. It's just, yeah, it gets crazier and crazier every time we see our points tally, every time we see the league table. It's insane. What a team this is.
Yeah, worth noting that, I mean, both Sunderland and Preston won, obviously. Well, and West Brom won as well, so, and Blackburn won as well. So five through eight won tonight. But that the gap to sixth, seventh, seventh is almost 20 points. So you got Leeds to 10, and you got maybe the outside the playoffs to 20 points before the turn of the year. Fantastic stuff. We will come now to your comments in the chat. Let us know what you're thinking after tonight. What have we got? Axel, give us your thoughts on Axel Tuan Zabi, Seb. Paul Westlake here. Axel looks so solid. Iffy in moments, a little bit rusty as you'd expect.
I think that's rust, isn't it? Yeah, that's rust and not really being up to kind of full match sharpness yet. I like the way he kind of reads the game. I like the turn of, he's got a deceptive turn of pace when he needs to, hasn't he? So yeah, I thought again he looked decent against a big physical striker in Rajovic. And yeah, another tick in the box. He's going to have to get some minutes in him because it's only another 3 weeks will it be now till Burgess goes away. So, yeah, I presume, I think Wolfenden will come back in for the Norwich game. We'll discuss Norwich, obviously, in more detail on Thursday night. But I expect Wolfenden to come back in for that one. But then given the run of games coming up, I would assume he probably starts, QPR at home in between Leicester and Stoke. And then come the FA Cup third round weekend, he gets that one. And then he's good to go with Burgess going away to the Cup.
Yeah, we think Burgess goes off on the 4th, is, I think, Telegram.
Yeah, so the Stoke game will be his last game, won't it? Yeah, the Stoke game's his last game before he disappears off for what could be up to 5-6 weeks. So we are going to need Tuan Zabi. And yeah, I thought tonight was another solid performance in getting him up to full match sharpness.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like home comforts. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See McDonald's.com.
Whether you need a VPN to protect you while online, to allow you to change your worldwide location virtually, or maybe a bit of both, NordVPN gives you the freedom to do so. NordVPN also allows you to stream TV shows, films, and even sporting events which aren't available in your local region, changing to a country which is showing that content, meaning you can switch as seamlessly as a Kira McKenna in-game tactical tweak with just one click. But that's not all. NordVPN can also look after you while online, preventing your card details and passwords from falling into the wrong hands, safeguarding your personal and sensitive information from harm. Think of it as a cyber Sam Morsey, offering protection to your own personal back four, but with far fewer yellow cards. NordVPN is available for the price of a cup of Bovril per month, and one account can be used across 6 different devices. Visit nordvpn.com/Blue Monday or click the link in the podcast description for more information about the offer and a risk-free 30-day money-back guarantee trial period. You'll also be helping out the pod by subscribing.
Neil, just on the way to the station. Beyond amazing what these boys are doing. Safe travels home, Neil. Thank you for joining us. Catherine, it looks like a Borough fan. What a team. I assume you're talking about us, in which case, thank you, Catherine.
Very kind.
We love that. Very appreciate external, you know, non-Ipswich Town fans' perspectives in here. So thank you for joining us there. McSaucepan, we'll need the extra rest too. Whole team will be gassed after the pace of that game. A lot of intensity, Seb, partly the way the Watford play, isn't it?
Yes, very much so. We had a couple limping at the end on the Riverside on Saturday as well. Burns and Clark kind of limping throughout the game up there, and they both got a bit of a rest today. But the good thing is bringing those five changes mean the likes of, you know, Broadhead and Clark, for example, have only played kind of, what, 30 minutes, 45 minutes tonight. So we can shift out again, bring some of the players that dropped out tonight back in, and then you've got a solid basis of kind of players that have kept ticking over midweek but haven't maybe necessarily gone full gung-ho.
There's a few comments in the chat that are preempting stuff and a bit fate-tempting, which isn't my style. So another host, I'm sure, would have shared these. But Sully, I see you. Chris Rand, I see you talking about midfield. I'm not going to put them on screen, but I appreciate you nevertheless. And I hope you understand why I haven't shared those with everyone else. As soon as I socialize it makes things happen. So I'm doing my best there for everyone else. Mr. Porterloo, unbelievable. Who'd have thought 6 points from these two away games, Seb?
Not me. I said, I'll take two.
Yeah. I need to dig out those predictions. They're not going to be enough. I think basically I've got one more point for the next three because I underestimated us.
Yeah, I think when we sat down and we did West Brom to Stoke, didn't we, as a Blue Monday contingent, we all put forward our predictions. And I had West Brom away, Middlesbrough away, and Leeds away as defeats. And I think I had tonight as a draw, if I remember rightly. So, yeah, I've been way off it ever since the kind of Millwall home game. And yeah, this team.
Pete Girls, three cheers for Joby. No. Hip, 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 hip. No, it's fine. Cheers. That's the disco in the office, by the way, that I'm quoting there. Sully, no, you know the score. How far ahead of your 10-match prediction totals are we, guys? It was only eight, and I think we are being blown out of the water pool. But
I think I said 11 or... No, I can't remember. Was it 10 games we predicted? I think I said...
Maybe.
I can't remember. I think I said 15. If it was 10 games, I think I said 15 or 16.
Because it was 24 points
okay. So I must have said... I think I said 12, 13 points or so, if you can even get to that with my rubbish maths. But it's blown out of the water now because, like I say, I had defeat at Riverside, a point tonight, a defeat upcoming at Leeds, and we'll just go to Ellen Road now and win.
Ashley, only negative. I thought William's positioning was awful. Awful's a bit strong, maybe.
But then Clark has... I'd agree Clark has the shirt, but Clark, I thought in the second half as well, there were times where he noticeably kind of left Semi in a bit of space, so I think that may have been slightly tactical. And we've got to remember as well, Williams hasn't played a lot of football. You know, he was missing for, was it 2 weeks before West Brom? He made the bench, didn't he, at Rotherham, didn't play against Birmingham, made the bench at Rotherham, then you've got a two-week gap after the home game that he didn't feature in. Then you've got the West Brom game he did play in, and then he's not really featured since. So I think he's only played 190 minutes in the last, it could be as much as 5-6 weeks now. So I just think he's a little bit off it given the lack of minutes. But I do think tonight there must have been some sort of tactical decision to allow Semenya time on the ball and allow him to cross in, because we were leaving him noticeably in large areas of space.
Well, and let's be honest, there's only so much we can do to defend the opposition who are as relentless as Watford are of getting crosses in. We knew that was their style of play. And yes, Williams didn't have the best of first halves, but you know, that I don't think Clark fared a great deal better. I think maybe was a little bit more up to speed with the pace of the game, having played, to your point. So I wouldn't read too much into that first half. And Tuan Zabi was alongside him as well. Also rusty and not helpful. And probably by the time Clark comes on, Tuan Zabi's more up to the speed. So mitigating circumstances, I think, for me.
Yeah.
But who starts? Alex asked this earlier. Who starts for you at right back, Seb, if you haven't already answered this one?
Clark.
Okay.
We discussed it on the flagship show on Sunday. I trust Clark a little bit more in terms of discipline and emotion. I know he's a Town fan, but in terms of emotion, I trust him a little bit more. So for me, the fact that Williams hasn't really played that much in recent weeks looks a little bit rusty. I'd have Clark in there, and then when it's 4-0, you can bring Williams on to control them.
And I want to see Clark hit a Thunder Bastard to win it as well. Paul Casabona, two seasons away from Champions League. There you go. Gary Neville, 51 points on the board. Unreal. Well done, the lads. What else have we got? Yeah, the universe doesn't care, even to you. How will Norwich approach this? A free swing or park the bus? Wagner probably can't afford a defeat. It'll be interesting to see how they get on against Sheffield Wednesday, Seb. But
yeah, I mean, I guess that will show some. Yeah, if they do beat Sheffield Wednesday, then their recent form isn't that bad compared to what it had been. You know, they had the win at Cardiff, drew at the weekend against Preston, beat QPR. Apparently, the performances have been pretty shocking, even though they've been picking up kind of points and stuff. So, yeah, I mean, if he loses to us, is that the final nail in the coffin? I'm not sure. I kind of assumed he would have gone when the new CEO came in, given that they bought his appointment forward and moved Stuart Webber out quicker. But, yeah, I don't know what he does. I guess, is it a bit of a free hit for him if they can go and put in a half? Everybody expects us to win, right? I mean, I don't know the match odds, but everybody, even Norwich fans, will be expecting to get turned over on Saturday. So is there a world he can come to Portman Road, frustrate us, Ashley Barnes up front can nick something from a set piece and they go down valiantly, a 2-1 defeat, a 3-2 defeat or something? Maybe that buys him a little bit more time. I don't know.
Yeah, we'll talk more about that on the pre-match show on Thursday, going out live, 8 p.m. as always, always there on Thursdays. So do come and join us for there. That will be good. And we've got Jack from Talk Norwich City giving us a little bit of insights as well, pre-recorded stuff as well. So and we've got a giveaway, Seb. I'm going to give away breakfast for someone on the pre-match show on Thursday as well. If you're going to go to the Greyhound,
can I have it?
Get your breakfast BAP. No, you cannot. Selfish. Employees may not enter the giveaway. So yeah, lots
employees.
Of stuff.
Employees
on Thursday. Extrapolate says Sully. Extrapolate, please. He says, please. 112 points, Seb, for 46.
That it is. 112.
Yep, 112. So everyone's asking the same question. 51 points. What's that about? Marius, I wonder if our current situation means the owners change their plans for this season. Surely now they'd be tempted to chuck the kitchen sink at getting back-to-back promotions. Have we got the owners, Seb, that are going to chuck the kitchen sink at anything?
I think they will bow down to Ashton and O'Leary's judgment on this one and McKenna's judgment. I think the money will be there if they want it. But I think they've proven in the last 18 months they are more than happy to take a step back, trust the structure they've put in place at Portman Road to go and make the decisions. And we have to trust McKenna and Ashton. You know, whatever they do, I think we'll act fairly quickly. We did last year. We had people in by the FA Cup game, didn't we? The first weekend of January last year, Hurst was pictured in the crowd and the Broadhead news broke a couple of days later. So I'd imagine, hopefully, we'll move quite quickly. And I think if they want to do anything too dramatic, they will do. But we are up against it in terms of FFP. You know, we are slap bang between three sides that get 70 million quid for coming down from the Premier League this season, and you know we're currently schooling all of them. So I think they will be, as they have been since they joined the club, they will be excellent backers, but they will bow down to the knowledge and the expertise of the people they've trusted to run the club for the last 18 months, because they haven't missed a beat and they haven't let them down at all, have they?
Yeah. What are they going to say then? So what's Mark Ashton and Mike O'Leary thinking then?
I think they'll be sensible about it. I think they won't. They
just
won't.
5 million, not 10 million on the strike.
Yeah, yeah. We'll make signings. I think we might well break our transfer record. And I think you do maybe go for it with the backup safety net, that if you don't make it, which won't happen, everybody, don't worry. If you don't make it, then you've got a Leif Davis who you can cash in for 25 million quid in the summer.
Or George Hurst for 8 million.
Yeah. It's not a free hit in terms of FFP, but having those players in reserve that you can look to move on if you have to gives you a bit of a safety net to go for. So yeah, I'd imagine two, maybe three signings. And I wouldn't be surprised if we did end up breaking our record.
Lots of you watching live, thank you so much for joining us on the night Ipswich Town go top of the league and Leeds lose 2-1 winners at Watford. We're going to stay here as long as there are questions and stuff in the chat, so please do get involved. Please also give us a thumbs up and please subscribe as well. Plenty more of this content coming, so yeah, please do join us and get involved. Jack, we can't have been top of the league since the Peterborough home game in 2022, Seb. Probably was
that, that was about this week, this time it's last year, wasn't
two
it?
Years ago, yeah.
Yeah, I think it was exactly to the day. Yeah, Connor Chaplin double, wasn't it? Yeah, I think you're right. We went top of the league that day, and then January was where we all started to fall away a little bit, and obviously we never got back up there when the crazy run started. So yeah, it might be almost 12 months to the weekend, maybe. Are you Googling it? Are you looking?
Two days out,
right? Okay,
the 10th. So yeah, great shout, Jack. Chrissy, one of the Telegram stalwarts, and he was saying, huge credit to Baz after the error, as I was saying, and it's how you deal with the mistake that matters, was faultless again. And yeah, we talked about his confidence in respect of coming out and cushioned, controlling, passing the ball on halfway at Borough, Seb. But to concede that kind of goal, you know, it's a test, and it feels like he passed it with flying colours, didn't he?
Very much so. Went back to what he knew after conceding the goal from the mistake. And yeah, it wasn't too long, was it, at all, before he was passing out to the centre-backs and the full-backs in tight positions. Again, he's so crucial to the way we play, isn't he? You know, he's got to be player of the season, hasn't he, at the moment, I would suggest. You know, he's coming out the cold. He played 15 minutes, whatever it was, in the league last season. And now he's absolutely crucial. You know, he's on the halfway line when we're attacking corners and when we're looking to just recycle attacks and get them going instantly. And yeah, a lot of players, it could have been very easy, tough away ground, early on, physical side, high press. You make that error, it could be very easy to go long for the next 10, 15 minutes. You know, look to hit Hurst, win the flick-ons for the likes of Chaplin and Hutchison running in behind, but he didn't. He goes back to what he knows, because, you know, he's so good at it, and he's proven he's so good at it. And as I said earlier, one goal every 18 months, and that style of play, I'll take that.
Yep. Mark, is this the real life, or is this just fantasy? Wow. Don't Wake Me Up. I'm trying to come up with another Queen song, Seb, and I can't. All I've got is...
Don't Stop Me Now.
Yeah, there you go. Brilliant. That's why he's here, folks. Earning the big bucks. Jack's back. Axel's defending was 100%, I assume that is. But Wolfie's better on the ball for me. And as you said, Seb, you'd expect Wolfie comes in, doesn't he? And
I think so.
And benefits the rest, perhaps.
Yeah, absolutely. Maybe, yeah.
He's plays with a niggle, sorry. We forgot to mention at the start of the show that McKenna had alluded to players carrying niggles.
Yeah.
Burns has obviously come back from a pretty serious injury as well. So wouldn't surprise maybe if Wolfie benefited from the rest.
Yeah, no, it's always beneficial to drop somebody out potentially, give them these 3 game weeks at this time of year can be incredibly sapping on the legs and the mental kind of toll they can take. So yeah, if he's now fresh for the derby, happy days. I expect him to start the next 3. I think Wolfenden and Burgess will be the centre-half partnership for Norwich, for Leeds and for Leicester.
Richard is here with Morsey on the shoulders as his profile picture, with the first 11 looking so good and the subs coming on making impacts. Where do we strengthen in Jan to push for promotion? Striker, he says, and ... Seb, central midfield.
For me, yeah, I think so. Yeah, I guess we'll look at the squad. There's a few players that can be deregistered that might well kind of move on potentially. And I think, yeah, I think a younger central midfielder who can do more of the Morsey kind of role of, you know, the deep sitter, the dark arts, the kind of one who will drive the standards. I think that's what I'd be looking to go for. Taylor's done really well. Luongo's done brilliantly. But Luongo and Morsey are both, you know, 31, 32 years old. So we do have to look to the future in that kind of position. And in this side, it's a crucial part of the pitch, isn't it? So for me, number one, targets 1, 2, and 3 would be a striker. I thought again tonight, I love Freddie for what he did last season, but there is always a noticeable drop off when he has to come. Well, not when he comes on the pitch, but when Hurst comes off the pitch, regardless. Yeah. If it's kind of Jackson, Ladapo or Scarlett, they can't give us what Hurst can give us. So yeah, presumably a striker will be lined up pretty quickly. We'll get them in to compete with Hurst and give him a bit of breathing space. And then for me, yeah, central midfielder.
Surprised to not see Dane Scarlett tonight, Seb?
Well, it's completely changed now, isn't it? Because Scarlett, obviously, Ladapo was the one at the start of the season kind of coming on at 65, 70 minutes. Scarlett wasn't really featuring at all. Then it flipped, Birmingham away. Scarlett kind of came on, didn't he? And he got the assist, I think, for the second harness goal, the volley. Had that effort at West Brom that looked decent. And then the last few games, it's switched back to Ladapo again. So, yeah, it's a strange one. He's making the bench, but he's just not getting involved at the moment, is he?
No.
The trouble is he can't go anywhere else now because he played for Spurs in the League Cup in the second or third game of the season. He can't play for another side this season now. So, you know, I saw some talk on, might have been Telegram or Twitter or the message board, saying, do we end the loan agreement and send him back? But, you know, I don't think that would reflect great on us as a, no. You know, a club. We want to develop this young Premier League talent. We want to get a reputation where clubs can feel free to send their exciting prospects here. So I think he'll be with us. But I think he's going to have to be patient for a while. For whatever reason, it has flipped back to Ladapo again.
Norman asks, will McKenna win coach of the year at Sports Personality of the Year? I mean, he should be in the running, frankly, shouldn't he? I guess the trouble is...
they do a best... I haven't watched it for years. Do they
No,
do
they
a
don't
best?
Care outside the Premier League, mate. They don't care.
Right, okay, right.
They
okay.
don't. They don't bloody care, Norman, is the problem. But yeah, he should be. And it wouldn't surprise me, Seb, if he wins it at some point in the future, would it? So a lot of love for McKenna, a lot of love for Harness as well. Harness had a good game this evening. What else have we got here in the chat? And Mark making the point, that's why McKenna has been great. The rotation of the squad has been fantastic. The comment, Courtney Sweetman Kirk was talking about this on comms, Seb. You can make five changes, you can bring on quadruple substitutes, and maybe man for man the quality is a little bit different. You talked about Ladapo versus Hurst, but the players know the patterns of play. They're so ingrained now that there's no real step off, is there?
No, not at all. That's the best thing about it. You know, no matter who kind of comes in, we do see drop off sometimes, but the overall patterns of play and the overall kind of movements are the same no matter who comes in, because they've all been coached to this exceptionally kind of high level. And also, it's great. It must be great for the squad. You know, yeah. At the start of the season, it can be. You know, Harness, for example, was a big signing.
Great show.
18 months ago. He's a big signing. He has 6 months. Broadhead then comes in. But, you know, McKenna's got the emotional intelligence, I presume, in the summer to sit down with some of these players and say, look, you are going to be crucial. There are going to be times I'm going to need you. You're not just going to be, you know, cup starting games. I'm going to need this entire squad throughout this season. And you get that feeling that, you know, when these players do get games, they really want to go out there and kind of, you know, show it. And I've got no doubts that Harness won't start probably on Saturday. Hutchinson might not start on Saturday, but they will be 100% involved in the preparation because of this squad buy-in that McKenna's built over the last couple of years. Now it's brilliant. No matter who comes in, there's no real drop-off. And the atmosphere, the camaraderie, the characters in that squad are absolutely crucial.
Give me a take on Hutchinson tonight. Got into some good moments. Obviously, a big part of the first goal. Perhaps disappeared out of the game when he moved into the central role and Burns went out right. But your thoughts on Hutchinson, Seb?
Yeah, I thought he did. I like him on the right. I do enjoy when he cuts inside on that left hand, that left foot. I think that's his most dangerous position for us. I thought he faded when he went into the number 10. Not really his fault. It's not really his position, is it? You know, he's kind of a wide player down either flanks. And when they made the changes, Burns went right like he normally does. Broadhead went left and Hutchinson had to take up the chaplain rolled in the centre. So I thought he noticeably dropped off when the subs were made. I thought he was causing the problems in the first half an hour or so. That cut into the box on occasion, obviously it leads to the opening goal with the double deflection before Hurst slams home. He had another one where he cut inside, got a left foot shot off just past the post. So I thought he created problems all game. I was pleased for him. Yeah, penalty shout. He was not for me. Soft. I think that the defender was just stronger than him. But no, a solid performance. And did well, but faded when he shifted inside. That's not really his fault though, because it's not his position, I don't think.
I won't be taking any direct free kicks from centre of the goal anymore.
Yeah, so, like you say, if you push the more experienced ones away, if you push Chaplin and Davis away, then you've at least got to hit the target, haven't you?
Paul Humph, I thought I'd give some emphasis to your surname there, Paul. I thought the referee deserves credit, kept the game flowing. I think there were bits in the second half where he does best to do that. Maybe a few yellow cards unnecessarily in the first
half. Why didn't their player get booked for kicking that ball away?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
Because Morsi got booked for it on Saturday, literally 3 seconds after the referee blew his whistle. The guy today booted it down the line way after the whistle went and didn't get booked. So, yeah, frustrating inconsistencies.
But Paul mentions didn't book Morsi.
Nothing to book Morsi for, though, was there, to be fair? I mean, there were a couple of times he went in and I was like, oh, no. You sort of close your eyes, but thankfully...
He got a toe on the ball, didn't he, in the second half?
Yeah, Morsi didn't give him a decision to make, thankfully.
Yeah. G'day to Nathan. Get in town. 10 points. Morning from Melbourne. Paul is off to bed. Try and sleep, but I'm of the age. I need to pee at 3 a.m. And thanks for oversharing there, but you can lie there and think about the game, as you said. Tractor driver, start designing the KM statue. Oh, he's getting to that point now, isn't it? So when we've already had someone say McKenna the best manager they've seen in their lifetime watching Ipswich Town, are you getting close?
I am. I can't give it to him yet because I'm a child of the late 90s. That's when I started going to Portman Road. Obviously, Burley finished fifth in the Premier League, you know, come on. But yeah, it's starting to get very, very close, isn't it? Mm. Are you still Burley, presumably, at the moment?
Yeah,
we did our 99 team versus this team a few months ago, and I think we both came down on the side of Burley, didn't we?
It's getting really difficult to not, though.
The
trouble is, it's just
the sorry, anyway. Football moves on, so it's very hard to compare, isn't that the problem?
Yeah.
It's really difficult to compare. But you know, if Burley had taken us up and then we'd finished 15th the next season, then yeah, I think I'd be shifting more. But that fifth place finished in the year 2000-2001 for me is still the pinnacle of my time following Ipswich Town. But who's to say that in a year's time we might be in similar territory? We just don't.
Yeah, you could say it for me. Steve has mentioned Barnsley. Matt mentions it as well. Has to not even top the Barnsley match. I know it's completely different in context, but this feels huge tonight, he says. You were
it
at Barnsley?
It feels huge. For me, it hasn't topped Barnsley. No, not yet. It's a huge win tonight. I think, like I said earlier, we will look back in April and May time if this season goes how we all think it's going to go, hopefully. We will look back at this week as an absolutely critical week, perhaps in the state in the season where the momentum started to shift and things really started to change from this point onwards. For me, that Barnsley game was just brilliant because we knew we'd done it and we might well find that we get to go to, I don't know, Hull is at the end of April, isn't it? There, Coventry away is kind of in April time. We might experience similar times around that time. But if we do, we will look back on this week, I think, and probably particularly tonight, as maybe where it all started to get very, very real.
Getting real, yeah. Pete asks, if we're doing a Plymouth and Leeds are doing an us, will Leicester drop like a stone soon, a la Sheffield Wednesday? I'm not sure. You don't have to answer that one, Seb. No.
Yeah, no, I can't see that happening, no. But they are behind us now. I don't know. They've got tomorrow night. Who are they playing tomorrow night? Does anybody know? Stick it in the chat if you know who Leicester are playing. I'll be honest, I couldn't tell you. I don't know who they've got tomorrow. But yeah, I guess it's over to them now. See what they can do.
Millwall, home.
Okay. Oh, yeah, they'll win that. Okay, yeah. So, yeah, they'll... makes it interesting, though, for Boxing Day, doesn't it? It makes Boxing Day really interesting. You know, I kind of assumed a couple of months ago when they were, 5 points clear, you kind of think, right, well, they're going to be nailed on for 110 points or whatever, and if we can keep riding their coattails and keep Leeds at bay, then that'd be absolutely brilliant. But it makes Boxing Day a little bit interesting now because, you know, if they were to drop points either tomorrow or at the weekend or the Saturday after before they come down to Portman Road, it could be a really spicy evening.
Yeah, and we've seen some teams of late that can take points off the top six teams, haven't we?
Well, not us.
Not apart from us. Yeah, I'm just trying to find Leicester's fixtures. So yeah. Millwall, Birmingham, trouble is they got Millwall at home tomorrow, Birmingham away on Monday, Rotherham at home on the Saturday before Christmas. So, some flat track bullying can happen before they play us. So, yeah, I'd be surprised. But we've, you know, Rotherham have create us a few surprises, haven't they? Taking points off Aston Leeds, so you never know. Neil advocating for minimum disruption in the transfer situation.
Yeah, I think,
in January,
Seb.
We're not going to sign loads, are we?
No, I think two or three, but two or three quality additions, you know, like we did last year. We brought in, was it four players last year, wasn't it, that was quality that could go straight into our starting 11 and improve it, and I think we'll look to do similar this time.
Neil mentions, I think the lessons learned from the Albion game have proved to be a huge factor in the last four games. We were both there and pretty mardy, as most people were watching that performance, and amazing as it's been to see us rally from that point. What do you think are the lessons that Neil's talking about there, Seb? Because I kind of feels like we just put it out of our system and forgot about it. It's kind of maybe more of a psychological thing than maybe a structural or a tactical thing. But your thoughts on Neil's points there?
Well, we're still giving away early goals, and we gave Watford a fair few set pieces tonight. So yeah, I'm not sure what lessons have been learnt. You know, we allow sides to press us high. We will still look to kind of pass through them with Lackey kind of finding the fullbacks. I just think, like you say, you know, it was an off night, but the chance that we had the Millwall and Coventry games in quick succession gave us a great chance to kind of blow that off straight away, and that's what we did, and we've not dwelt on it, look back on it at all.
John, Leeds are now closer to seventh than they are to us. Sunglasses brilliant. Emoji. Thank you, John, for reminding us of that. We will put the league table up before we say goodnight. And Richard, thank God you guys are on tonight, as I'm far too pumped to sleep after that. Well, we'll keep going. We'll extra time. We usually aim for an hour, but we're going to stick around a little bit longer. But a bit of quid pro quo, if you haven't already, please do give us a thumbs up. It means the world to us here. It just helps promote us up algorithms and gets more people involved in the chat as well. So please, if you haven't already, do give us a thumbs up. And please subscribe as well, because if you subscribe and then follow us on our socials, you can possibly win an Ipswich Town shirt. We've got kind of, yes, it's cynical. We're kind of doing these prize levels. We're definitely going to at least give away access to our amazing Telegram group, which you can still join anyway. Match day chat was great tonight, so please do get involved in that if you haven't already. 2-week free trial over Christmas, perfect timing. But we want to give an Ipswich Town shirt away, so the more subscribers we get here on YouTube, the better for that. So do get involved there. In terms of other bits and pieces worth flagging to your attention as well, we mentioned the pre-match show will be live here 8 p.m. on Thursday. Seb and I doing our usual job, but talking about the East Anglian derby.
Feels weird, doesn't it, doing the derby? It's something we've never done before. We must have done nearly, 100 pre-match shows by now, but we've never done one kind of, where normally we're very balanced and we don't let emotion come into it. Yeah. But yeah, we might have to bite our tongues a few times on Thursday night and give our usual kind of respect and stuff to the opposition. We might be more difficult than normal.
Yeah, so do join us there and we'll try and make sense of that with you guys. We'll obviously talk about, if you want to put stuff about them lot in the chat now, we will still talk about it with plenty more of discussion about the derby to come on Thursday. And then Sunday night, as many of our pod team as we can get assembled, assuming the result goes our way, a few people are at pantomime, Seb, and all that, family commitments at this time of year, which is frankly a disgrace. But nevertheless, we will try and get as many people to talk about the game as possible. And we'll try and keep you posted about shows over Christmas. Obviously, our usual flagship show slot after Leeds is on Christmas Eve. And so we might mix that up and pre-record it or go live in the morning or something, but we'll keep you posted. Blue Monday, itfc.co.uk is where you need to go to find everything you need to support the channel, Telegram, merch, socials, podcasts, link, video links, all sorts, and the running order for the weekend as well. So head over there and get involved. And thank you everyone for your support. As we said, look, fantastic numbers. So we'll keep going for another kind of 10, 15 minutes or so. So get your thoughts in the chat. We'll try and do as many as we can as well. But thank you everyone for joining us. And yeah, thumbs up, as we say, would be very much appreciated. When was the last time we were top of the championship, Seb? 15-16?
When we Ryan Fraser away at didn't 17-18, didn't we win 5 on the bounce, like Millwall away and when Waghorn Garner? Maybe we went top one of those days. We definitely went top at Preston away. I was there 2015. Ryan Fraser and Brett Pittman scored, and I thought, brilliant, we're going to go up after the playoff defeat the following season. It all kind of went a little bit wrong. But I think we may have gone top at the start of 17-18, where we were having like 4 shots across 7 games and scoring every time, and it was completely unsustainable. We all got very excited though.
I think we scored early in the opening game of that season and people were chanting top of the league as a joke. So there's that. Who wins in a game between the team of this season and 14-15, Seb?
This season.
I mean, it's a bloodbath, isn't it, potentially?
This season. Yeah, this season, absolutely. Because
Murphy versus Wolfenden / Burgess would be interesting, wouldn't it?
But it's Burgess on him, so it's not really an issue, is it? I'd love to see a straight race between Tyrone Mings at left-back and Wes Burns. That would be quite entertaining to watch. But
yeah, there are good individual battles in there. We can't dismiss that 14-15 team outright, but
it's this team. We had this. I remember this conversation coming up, I think, at some point last year, and we said you have to give it to 14-15, given they were playing. They were a side that got 75 odd points, whatever it was, 70 points maybe, and finished 6th in the championship. But this side has now surpassed that, and yeah, I'm not sure it'll be a bloodbath because Mick would make it physical and look to frustrate and low block, etc.
1-0.
This side, Scott, Berra diving in at the far post. I think this side would. This side would take them now.
Need to say a massive thank you to Chris.
Chrissy, you legend.
Who's given us a super chat. And Chris is one of the lovely folk over at Telegram. I think is involved in our friends Blue Monday sponsorship of Lucy O'Brien as well. So thank you so much, Chris. We'll make sure that gets shared amongst the team at Christmas drinks or something like that. Or come and find us on Saturday and we'll make sure we get you a drink as well. But thank you so much. He says, Merry Christmas, Blue Monday. Thank you, Chris, for your support of the podcast. If you want to do likewise, there is a button to do that on YouTube, but the thumbs up is good enough. But thank you, Chris, so much for your generosity. Really appreciate that. Thank you so much for that. Let's head back into the chat. I've kind of skipped down quite a lot there. So where are we at? Chris is here, our mate in New Zealand. Good morning from Queenstown, the bungee jump capital of New Zealand. Seb, I've done 2 bungee jumps in New Zealand. Another great win. Captain fantastic and super keeper, he says. And then, yeah, Brian said, Vaz made up for the mistake. We definitely talked about that. What have we got? Yeah, Christy mentioning we're in a rocket ship that we are building in flight, says Mark Ashton. Chris mentioning Leeds dropping points. Did Leeds drop points again, Seb? Oh, goodness me.
Surely not. They're massive, aren't they?
Norman, opposition teams seem to attack down our right-hand side. They obviously perceive that's our weakness. How do we resolve this vulnerability? Do you agree with that?
I think Watford were good down that side because of the quality of player they had there. I think Semi is an excellent player. I'm trying to think, Middlesbrough didn't really offer much at all down that side. I guess we did see it, didn't we, a couple of games ago, maybe a few games ago now, five or six games ago, where sides were noticeably, yes, targeting our right-hand side. But like you said, you know, sides are going to find ways to try and beat us. And if that's if that's a perceived weakness in the side, then that's what they can do. But it's not really been that effective, I don't think, has it? You know, I guess with Burns in front of whoever the fullback is, you maybe get a little bit less protection. I think Hutchinson's very good off the ball, I think, when he's playing in front of one of the fullbacks. He kind of does track back a little bit more than Burns, I think. I don't think that's an injustice to say. But sides are going to try and find a ways to stop us. And if that's what they're currently doing, fair enough. But we're so strong in all aspects of the pitch. If that's the only weakness that we have, then happy days.
Was it right? I was going to sing Elton John. You said little bit, and now the Elton John songs are coming to me. Little bit funny. Stephen says, do we need another left back to cover Leaf?
Well, Williams will be the cover, I guess, won't he? But you know, the fact that Williams can play both sides is incredibly advantageous. So I guess he is the cover for it, and in which case, Danasian becomes the cover for the right back position, and Cameron Humphreys can fill in there as well if need be. But it's going to be a tough sell to get somebody to come and join behind Leaf Davis, because let's be honest, you ain't going to get a lot of football. So yeah. I think they'll leave it as Davis, as Williams, as the cover for both flanks.
Well, Clark can cover there too, and Danasian can cover there. So we've got flexibility. And Cameron Humphreys can play there as well. Yeah. Alex, when I finally wake up, will I be stood in the cold after Fleetwood's last minute equaliser, Plymouth's late equaliser, or the night of Barrow 0-0 and five Kieran McKenna nil?
Yeah, we're all, it's like Lost. You know, they're all stuck in purgatory. We're all still at the Valley, probably exactly 2 years ago to the night when NCAA was trying to fight.
Let's go
the
further
fans.
Back. I mean, Barrow's a great shout. It's Rotherham 2-0, isn't it, at home? Or bloody hell, it's Rochdale 0-0. It's
Coventry 1-0 before the lockdown.
It's Lincoln 5-3 or something,
it's
isn't it?
Paul Lambert saying, I'd rather be the hunter than the hunted. Yeah, no, we deserve this for all the shit that we sat through for all those years. it's nearly 11 o'clock.
We're pushing the YouTube monetization tonight, but who cares? Michael, thanks for the show. Time for work. Yeah, good for you. I'm not sure I'm getting to sleep anytime soon, Seb. Are you good to keep going for another 3 or 4 minutes?
Go for it. Keep
Let's
it going.
Go for it. What else have we got? Julian, hands up, who thought Morsy was going to get booked when the team selection came up? I mean, fair play to Morsy. He knows the drill now, though, doesn't he?
It's a bit of a different ask, though. It's a different ask to do it at this level than it was in the Championship last year for 9 games, where he could have a cigar on for most of them and just get through it effortlessly. You know, it's coming, and he'll get booked 15 times, so there'll be a further suspension at some point, probably in the spring, I would imagine. That's the best case scenario Chris has put on the screen. Yeah, Morsy's next yellow against Leicester, misses QPR and Stoke. That's what we were discussing in the flagship on Saturday. I think me and Craig were of the opinion of the three games, if he had to miss two of them, we were happy for him to miss Norwich. Obviously, that means he has to miss Leeds, given the consecutiveness of the fixture list, and be back for the Leicester game. Norwich was the one we were least concerned about, but now it doesn't matter, and hopefully he can be disciplined. Hopefully he can be disciplined in there against Gibbs, and I think McLean's been playing centre back for them recently, isn't he? So whoever's up against him, hopefully we'll see Luongo do the dark arts to, again, like he was tonight, get through the Leeds games, get through the Leicester game. But I would be surprised if he gets, if it comes to full time after the Leeds result and he's not on 10 yellows, I'd be surprised.
Fair enough. Jack, joining in the debate about Burnley versus McKenna, both the Championship and the Premier League have got richer and more globalised since 2000. Harder now than in Burnley's time, fair. In his opinion. Yeah, fair point. Mark, is Hutchinson the most dangerous on-the-ball attacker we have in the squad? I guess it's him versus Burns maybe for that?
Yeah, potentially, or Broadhead. They can both kind of go either way, can't they? They're both relatively ambidextrous, so they can swing it onto both feet if they need to. Yeah, that's the great thing about him. Like I say, I like him on the right, cutting in on that left-hand side, but equally, he can go right and go down the touchline as well. So it must be a nightmare for a defender to kind of defend against, because you just don't know what he's going to do. That little drop of the shoulder, the cut inside to get the shot off, or like tonight with the deflection that runs through for Hurst to tap home. Yeah, it must be incredibly difficult to defend against.
Yep. HCH, 100 league goals on 2023, Boomtown, and the stats keep coming. Chris is 450. I think it was more than that at one point as well. Thank you, everyone, for your support. Really appreciate that. Steve, getting towards 1 o'clock in Cyprus. Going to be a late bedtime with the next hour spent staring at the league table. Well, shall I do that now, Seb, for all of us? There's the bloody league table. Ipswich Town, top of the tree, king of the hill, the star on top of the Christmas tree at the very least for 24 hours. 21 games played, 51 points.
Where's Norwich?
Sorry, only cuts off a 10th.
Shame.
Cuts off a 10th. Look at the gap to third. Look at the gap to sixth, Seb. Mind-boggling stuff. Apologies if I've gone too loud into the microphone there, but yeah, you guys know what I mean. I think we've dealt with transfer stuff. Nick, where does this all land? It lands in May, hopefully, Nick, in the right place, doesn't it? Paul talking about 12 months away since Wickham away.
Yes, it was. Yeah, just poor Christmas, wasn't it? Yeah. God, those days, thankfully, are way behind us.
Fuel for the BM yacht. Yeah, the BM kayak, maybe, Lee. Alex, Ed Sheeran always been clear of Elton John. he lives opposite Vicarage Road. Give us your thoughts on the game. Alex, before we say goodbye, a lot of people getting involved in the chants as well. Farkas' face at the final whistle tonight. lovely stuff. There you go, Christy. The Sir Elton John lyrics across the top of the stand at Vicarage Road weren't actually written by Sir Elton John. Fact of the day. Hashtag accidental partridge. I assume Bernie Taupin authed those, but there you go. Did I hear Healing Horse Arse? Did I hear a new festive song? Yeah, well, someone put the lyrics.
Shaking Stevens, wasn't it?
It was. I'm sure that will come up plenty on Saturday. But on the night that Ipswich Town go top of the table after a 2-1 win at Watford, we say thank you everyone for joining. If you want a last minute shout out, now is the time to get it in. We've talked about the pre-match show. Do join us live Thursday 8 p.m. to talk about the East Anglian derby. We're going to give you a free breakfast as well if you get involved in that. Not everyone. We're going to give away to one or two people a breakfast bap or two. We're going to have the Christmas giveaway as well. Head to our socials to get involved in that. Please do thumbs up, subscribe if you haven't already. Flagship show will be back Sunday with the usual time, 8 p.m. Sunday, talking about the East Anglian derby after the fact. And in the meantime, head to Telegram group, get involved, 2-week free trial, and then a subscription thereafter. Everything you need, bluemondayitfc.co.uk. Plenty of stuff on there. Give all the links to where you need to go, socials, merch store, Telegram, podcast links of all different varieties, and YouTube as well. Seb, your research begins now. How are you feeling towards Saturday now? Any difference after tonight?
I'm even more confident than I was. I was pretty confident going into it, but those confidence levels have now been raised another couple of levels.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting one, isn't it? And yeah, you're back obviously on Saturday as well. It's got to happen, isn't it? It's got to be our time, hasn't it?
Surely, yeah. I mean, Christ, if we don't beat them this time, we never will ever again. I think everyone must be, surely. So even the Norwich fans must be. I was watching the Talk Norwich City video earlier on this evening, this week's effort, and even they are expecting to get turned over. So surely it's going to finally happen from the days of Jim Magilton, Giovanni Dos Santos. Hopefully the last 20-something years are going to be put to bed and the rightful order will be restored in East Anglia.
The rightful order. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. As we mentioned, on the night that George Hurst and the skipper Sam Morsey give Ipswich the two goals to win at Watford, 2-1, 51 points, 21 games. And the big one on Saturday, Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to see Ipswich win away. Good night, everyone.
It's the promotion run-in. Everyone is gathered round to watch. The McNuggets share boxes are there, offering much-needed distraction. Your mate's already been booked for double dipping, but in you swoop to steal the last nugget and claim all 3 points. Oh, and there is the Harry Clark fist pump to celebrate. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in at participating restaurants.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.